Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Jesus, for your love, we give you glory, we give you adoration, we magnify you for who you are. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's be seated. And take the word. Okay, so what's the problem with this? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to try to cap up with this subject today. Which is, last week I touched briefly on the crown of life, which is going to be the last one I want to talk about. And I try to emphatically declare to us that crown of life is not necessarily what you get when you get out of this space, maybe into heaven or something like that. I remember we read James 1. Verse number 12. So we can just go there. Amplified translation. Sorry. James 1, verse number 12. Is that? Okay. Blessed and happy, be envied, is a man who is patient under trial and stand up under temptation. But when he has stood the test and have been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, hallelujah. The thing that qualifies you for this, like I tried to explain last week, are the things you see there. Those who can go through trials. But something enables you to do that. The love you have for the Lord. The crown is for those who love him. Now, you're not going to be able to go through trials if you don't love the Lord. There are a lot of things that you won't be able to endure from just human perspective. But if you are loving, what I mean is, if you love the Lord, like he was saying in the book of John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandment. The proof of your love for God is not what you say. It's how you obey what he says. And he's saying, what sustains you in the times of trial? Or testing or tribulation is the love that you have for him. If you love him, you can endure anything for his name's sake. That's what the scripture is trying to say. And then he knows when you endure a situation for his name's sake, that he gives you that which is called the crown of life. And like I said, the crown of life is not the same thing as eternal life. Eternal life you receive just simply believing. Because to do with grace. It's grace, it's a gift. Right? If you believe in the Lord, he gives you eternal life. You're born again, you receive eternal life. But a crown of life is what you work for. What's the work there? The enduring of the temptation and the trials that may come your way. For his name's sake. In other words, you can face persecutions and still be steadfast in your love for him. And at the end of it, he rewards you. So, crown of life is a reward for steadfastness and obedience to his word. You don't earn it in terms of giftings. It's what you earn by the life you live, by the level of patience and endurance. So, you can look at that again. Blessed, happy, to be envied, is a man who is patient under trial and stand up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You get a key there. Praise the living God. Okay, so again we look at Revelation 2 verse number 10. Revelation 2 verse number 10. Praise the Lord. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but thou be faithful unto death, and I will give thee what? A crown of life. I give you a crown of life. And there are something you need to understand from this again. It is, though he is speaking to a church, but you must understand that this is something you receive individually. It's not necessarily a corporate situation. Though what the Lord was saying here was a corporate church. But essentially, the trial does not come to a corporate church. It can come to a corporate church, but most often it comes to the individual. So whatever it is, whether it is corporate or individual, what the Lord is saying, if you can endure it, and the capacity and ability for you to endure is your love for him. You can tolerate a lot of things because of the love of Christ. That is where your reward comes from. So, no matter what is happening to you, no matter what anybody is trying to do to you, if you have the love of Christ in your heart, you can endure it. And the reward comes to you from him, because you know that you are enduring this individual or the situation or the circumstance because of him, your love for him. You can't decide to quit, for instance, ministry or fellowship or whatever assignment is given to you, maybe because of anything. Because that could be your trial. That could be your testing. Are you there with me? It could be your moment of trial. God is trying you using the circumstance and the situation you find yourself. And then he said, if you can go through that, you're going to get the victor's crown at the end of the day. Your reward is the victor's crown, because you're able to endure whatever situation that you find yourself, that men are even trying to push onto you or into your life because of the love you have for him. So the underlying energy to go through trials is the love you have for Christ. Meaning you can tolerate certain situations just because of your love for Christ. Because the reward at the end is the crown of life. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. So I need you to get this, because it's very important that you pick it up. Let's look at something from the book of John 12 verse 25. Which correlates to this. You can take it from a simpler translation. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Okay? You can take it from another translation. What I really wanted to point out there is ability to love. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. And those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. So, get the point right. There is a level of self-consciousness you have that makes you not to be able to endure when you are on trial. Amen? There's a level of consciousness that you will have that makes it difficult for you to endure trials. That is the love you have for your soul. When you say, if you lose your soul, you get it. But if you retain your soul, you lose it. And that is very important. With your walk, when it comes to working with God, there's a dimension of losing yourself for his sake. When it seems like your life matters not to you anymore, Amen. Good. You're losing, if I may even use the word, as if you're losing your personality. My implication, no longer conscious of your personality. You may live like men are taking advantage of you. That is when you're no longer seeing yourself. You're losing your soul. And the Bible says when you do that, you gain it. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Good. You lose it for his sake. Don't forget, it's for the love you have for him that enables you to live that kind of life. For his sake, then you gain it. Anything you lose for his sake, you always get. Whether it's personality, you get it back. Whatever thing you lose for his sake, you always get. So, you're going through trials, you're going to persecution. Whatever level of trials and temptation you're going through, if you have his love in your heart, you can go through it. If you have his thoughts of being the one you are seeing, even in the midst of those trials, you go through it. But guess what? You have your reward with the victor's crown. Why is it victor's crown? It means you overcome. To overcome means, to get a victor's crown, you get a victory. Victory over the trial, victory over the temptation, victory over the tribulation. That's why I call it victor's crown. In other words, you get victory over the problem. So God expects you, no matter what is going on, to have victory over any circumstance that you find yourself. And what guarantees you the victory is your love for him. Your love for the Lord. Praise God. Are you there with me? So Jesus said, you lose your life, you get it. You retain your life, you lose it. You got to understand that. Praise the Lord. So like we indicated, this crown of life is not for those who pass, for those who persevere in faith through temptation, tribulation, and persecution. Those are the people that receive the crown of life. This is not the crown you receive because you believe in Jesus. No. Amen. Praise the living God. Simply saying that you have made it through your tribulation and therefore have received the crown of life. And I tried to explain extensively last week as well, using the life of who? Of Joseph. Amen. When you receive the crown of life, you come into the place of exaltation, place of promotion, place of magnification, place of authority. That is just what it is. Praise the Lord. So, these have nothing to do with what you get for believing in Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said before, no. Not what you get because you are born again. And so when you go to heaven, you receive it. No, that is not it. This is directly connected to how perseverance you can have. The kind of patience you can have, how long you can persevere, how long you can tolerate even some people. Even men that can literally hate you for no just cause. But you still be able to tolerate them because of who? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. So eternal life is a free gift, but crown of life is something you get. So it's important. It's done by the works that you do, by the life that you live. Amen. It's a reward for special tax or act on service and perseverance under trial. Crown of life is a special reward. I keep repeating. Praise the Lord. And your dedication and obedience to the King, his dealings with you as an individual, that is the point I need you to pick when it comes to the crown of life. Very important. I'm going to be illustrating with a few things so that you understand. There's a common saying in the Jewish proverb. It's a blessed is a man who stand in his temptation, for there is no man whom God does not try. No man that God does not try. In other words, every man stands to be tried in his own special area of life. As a father, you can be tried, even in your family. As a mother, you can be tried. As a servant, you can be tried. There is no realm of life wherein you can face trial. Praise God. No realm. If you are rich, you can be tried to see whether you open your hands to the poor. I mentioned that last week. Hallelujah. If you are poor, you receive trial to see whether you can receive affliction without grumbling. No man that doesn't face trial. No man. Let me show you something. Jude chapter 14. Jude 1. Let's read on verse 14. I'll show you something. Jude 1 from verse 14. And Enoch also, the servant from my island, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, and then to execute, watch this, judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against the Lord. What's the next thing? These are what? Murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their own mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's passions in admiration because of advantage. Can I take this last verse, verse 16, from any other translation? I'm trying to share categories of people. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desire. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. Did you get this? Now, I mentioned that you can be tried as a poor man. Ability to go through trial as a poor man without grumbling qualifies you for what? The crown of life. No man that is not right. And God doesn't enjoy grumblers and complainers. So if there is something God doesn't really enjoy or want to see in your life, is to grumble or to complain. Hallelujah. To grumble or to complain. And one of the things that leads you to this is when you feel you are not recognized, when you feel that people are taking advantage of you, when you feel, because it says they are living only to satisfy their desires, they brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. Amen. Men that may even take people's name to others to reduce them so that they can promote themselves, they also face that which is called judgment from what we are reading there. Such can never receive that which is called the crown of life. They can't get it. I don't know if you are following this. Go back to verse 15 again. To execute judgment on the people of this world, he will convict every person of all the ungodly deeds they have done, and for all the insults that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's against the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that okay? And then the next people now, you see. So, look at that. These people are grumblers and complainers. So, there is a way you live your life. You may be a complainer without knowing, because you don't seem to see what Christ is doing in your life to be what it should be. In other words, you're trying to retain your soul instead of losing your soul, which has to do with your life. Don't prize your life too precious. Prize his own life more precious than your life. Amen. Because if you prize your life so precious, you will never be able to overcome trials. Because men will want to reduce you at any point in time. Praise God. So, the poor man can be tried to see whether you grumble or not. No man is not tried as far as life is concerned. No matter the situation, whether you have money, whether you don't have money, you're going to face trial. Amen? And your love for Christ is not dependent on your wallet. Because it talks about those who love Him. He gives them the crown of life. If your love for Jesus is based on what is in your wallet, it's not genuine love. Hallelujah. So like I said, there is sound temptation to help the poor. And the poor also can go through any form of trial to see whether they'll grumble or not. Have you come to the place in your life once in a while you say, God, why? God, why? You may not even know whether that situation that making you to say that is your own test for that moment that will enable you to overcome. He gives the crown to overcomers only. He doesn't give to everybody. Praise the Lord. And I said that last week as well. God will always say, no temptation is taking but such that is common to man. So your own trial is not peculiar. What I mean is, it's not unique. It's what is everywhere. If you don't have it here, there's somebody in the U.S., there's somebody in Canada who is going through the same trial. And you may have yours today, somebody will have his own tomorrow or next tomorrow. It said it's common to man. No temptation that have taken you but saw that is common to man. Every trial you are passing through, every temptation you are passing through is something that is common to human beings. So don't ever think your trial is very peculiar or you are suffering something very unique that nobody else is passing through. No. Praise God. Are you there? So, it can be seen that every man in this life, in a state of temptation or trial, is working out like being a candidate for another and a better world. Meaning everyone that stands in his trial shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord himself has promised to do that do what? That love him. Everybody. Praise the living God. The key point again, like I said, is the love of God. Not everybody is qualified for this. Like I said, it has to do with those who endure the trials of life and those who love God. Love feels the loads. Therefore, endure all things. Nothing is impracticable and impossible to him that do what? That love God. Absolutely nothing. If you love God, you can enjoy any situation. You can go through any pressure, any form of pressure, if you love God. I am sharing this so that you don't miss what God has in store for you. So if you are experiencing temptation or trials, persecution, insults, be encouraged and persevere through them. Be encouraged. Because the Lord is only preparing you for something greater. Do you understand this? He's only preparing you for something greater, something better, something more exalted than even where you were. No. That tells you something. If you can't go through trials, if you can't go through tribulation, you are likely never to grow in life. In the spirit, you can't. Praise the Lord. If you have to win a crown, Olympic Games, whatever, you know how long you must run, especially in a marathon race, just to get the crown. And for you to do a marathon race, you are going to have strength, perseverance, ability to continue on. Even when you seem tired, you're still going to be running. That's what we're saying. No crown, no prize is won in a splinter. Never. It requires patience. It requires long suffering. It requires endurance. Whatever, even in life. Praise the living God. You know, Proverbs said, even riches gotten so quickly vanishes away. Have you read that? Riches that are gotten so hastily, they vanishes away. So no crown that gets to you hastily that you maintain. No. Never. Praise the Lord. Reward comes at the end of whatever race you are running. So the Lord Jesus, as it were, is waiting to crown you when you end your race. Don't forget what we read last 2 weeks when Paul was speaking. I've finished my course, I've finished the race, and therefore the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, waiting for me. It's a man that finishes that receives. It's a man that endures that receives. It's a man that perseveres that lives. If the man that loves him that receives. No. It's not, it has nothing to do with it, oh, because I'm a Christian, therefore I'm qualified for the crown of life. No. Not at all. Praise the Lord. So, don't forget, this is not talking about physical crown, but rather, it's sort of some special blessing, honor, privilege, or recognition in life that the future and even now has for those who can overcome. I'm talking about some blessings, the dimension of honor, privileges and recognition in life. And I give you a typical example last week again. Remember, at the level of Joseph, he got recognized at the end. Remember, the Bible said Joseph took his ring. Pharaoh took his ring from his fingers and put it on the finger of Joseph. How to ride on the chariots and cause the whole of Egypt to bow down to Joseph. And he told Joseph, except being on the throne, that's the only thing by which I'm higher than you. Every other thing you possess. Honor came because Joseph persevered. Follow the track of Joseph's trials. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, read with me Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. Hebrews 2 verse number 2. Sorry. 12 verse number 2. Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endure the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, take another one. Maybe another translation. Verse number 2 still. Another translation, NLT. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor before God's throne. They're together. He went through all of that and he said he is an example. So you can call this a crown of life. What is that supposed to mean? He is honored, and then he's promoted to sit at the right hand of the Father, or the throne of the Father, means he's in charge. But now look at where he came from. For becoming like a human being, God becoming human being, walking on the earth, hungered, thirsty, slept, weary. Went to the cross, pierced him, spat on him, insulted, abused, called mad. He went through all of that. Even when they say he was mad, you are beside yourself, he would say nothing about them. He was able to go through all of those things. Picture everything he went through, from bed down to the cross, before he got to the place of honor. Why was he able to endure? He saw that if I finish this, there is something ahead of me. And God made him to understand, if you can go through these trials, this is what I have for you. I told you the last time, you don't pray yourself out of certain trials unless you don't know if this is the will of God. Because Jesus tried to do that. Remember that? Went to get something, praying and even telling the people to join him to pray. Oh God, if it's your will, oh God, take this cup from me. I told you God answered his prayer. Remember that? How did he answer his prayer? The Bible says God brought angel to strengthen him. They just brought angel. God just brought angel to strengthen him, to encourage him to continue on. They didn't take the cup from him because that is will for him. So there are certain things you... Now, I'm going to tell you this. There are certain things you don't pray yourself out of or find a way to get out of. God may have ordained those things for you for a purpose, to bring you to the place of honor and glory. And you say, what about if the devil is trying to? What about if the devil tried to do will turn out for your own good? That's what I believe. All things work together for good to them that love God, who've been called according to his purpose. All things love God. All things work together. All things. He has a purpose for everything in your life. Praise the Lord. So I needed to get this because it's very important. The key to overcoming and receiving your crown is your love for Christ. I'll keep on emphasizing this. The key to your overcoming is your love for Christ. Amen? Now, if you love Christ, what do you do? John 14, verse 22. John 14, verse 22. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot now, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? What was the next thing there? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You together? This is the key. If a man love me, so don't tell me you love Jesus. Remember James 1:12? It tells you that for you to get a crown of life is because you love him. So it's not what you say that proves that you love Jesus. It's not, oh Jesus, that how I love you. It's not even singing it. It tells you how to prove that you love Jesus. How? If you love me, do what? Keep my words. Whatever. Take the Bible. Read the Bible. Follow the instructions. See what the Spirit is saying. Listen to the messages you're hearing. If you love me, keep my words. The test of your love is what? The words that you keep. How much of the words are you working with? How much of the words are you living your life with? That's the test of your love for Jesus. Hallelujah. And he said, my Father will love him too, and we will come and make our abode with him. This is so significant. It's such a simple word you can read through and don't really bother about it, but it's very significant. Your love for the world will bring in God to you in fellowship. Your love for what Jesus says will attract God to your life in the place of fellowship. Part of the reason we don't hear God is because we don't love the words of Jesus. If you love my words, my Father will love you. So if you want to attract the love of God to your life, what are you supposed to do? Love what the Lord of Jesus Christ says. Whatever I ask you to do, do it. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Mary said in John chapter 2 at the feast. When he said, we don't have no more wine. Told him, here is him. Just go talk to him. Whatever I ask you to do, what? Do it. Whatever. Just whatever. Amen. And he told him, okay, turn water into those vessels there, those 6 bottles. Just turn water into them. Whatever I ask you to do, just go ahead and do it. It's whatever. And when the people responded to the whatever, what did they get? They got wine. So what is that supposed to mean? Your solution comes from your responding to whatever they ask you to do. Whatever you're praying for, what is God saying about it? What Jesus said about the thing you are praying about? Your love is to obey what he asks you to do. Anything he asks you to do. Praise God. Let's look at the life of Abraham. Genesis 22, reading from verse 13. This was Abraham's own trial. Genesis 22, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Remember, they were going to Mount Moriah. And looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. This one he wanted to sacrifice Isaac. Is that okay? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And he said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou have done this thing, I have not withheld thy son, the only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand of which upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Amen. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Be blessed. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, what do you think happened to Abraham here? It's not only honored beyond his wildest imagination. He never expected that because he was going to offer Isaac or obeying the voice, all of these words, God will even take an oath for that matter. Simple obedience. Simple obedience to the words led God to take an oath. He took an oath by himself. A son by myself. In blessing, I will bless you. Hallelujah. In multiplying, I will multiply you. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Your seed. Oh, glory. So your obedience sometimes goes ahead of you to prepare even serious advantages and position for your children. So this becomes the crown of the life that finally Abraham got for overcoming that trial. And now you can see that most time God tries you based on the best thing that you have in your life. The thing you cherish most is what he tries you with. So sometimes if you hold your life so precious, he tries you on that. If you hold your money so precious, it tries you on that. It tries you based on that which is most precious for you. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to see if you love him more than that thing that is precious in your life. He doesn't want anything to contend with his life in your life. It doesn't want money to do that. It doesn't want your personality to do that. Anything that contend with his life. No. He's an enemy. He doesn't want that. So whatever you value so much, that is where your trial comes in. Are you still there with me? And so you can see, you've not withheld thy son, thy only son. And you know how precious Isaac was in the sight of Abraham. Do you understand this? You know how precious Isaac was. So it was basically the trial of obedience. God just wanted to see. And that is why it's also vitally important that you need to hear God accurately and all the time. Because you see, if Abraham had not had God, I mentioned that to you here some time ago, the second time he will have killed Isaac and still thinking that he's doing service to God. It was God that said, go on an offer. It was God that said, stop, take another animal, take the animal and offer. You understand that? If he never heard of you taking the ram or whatever, he will have killed Isaac. So most of us will destroy even what God has for us because we don't obey what God says, most especially if he's speaking to us.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.